We actually know exactly what we're doing this morning. I know it seems early for the kids to leave us, but we mentioned that today was going to be a little bit different, and this is the start of a little bit different. In fact, I thought maybe as an introduction to today, I could convince you as a church that God likes to party, and then that didn't seem like that was a good introduction. But as I looked at Genesis 1 and 2, like I'm going back to the beginning, on the first page here, God created things, and then he paused and said, hey, that was good. And then he created day 2, and he said, it's good, and he created, and it was good, and he created it. And then at one point, he said, it was very good, which I don't know exact. Good doesn't have a lot of meaning today. We've replaced it with awesome and amazing and words like that, which are now not as awesome and as amazing as they used to be. So I believe God was getting us on the right track. In fact, with the Old Testament, with the Israelite people were given festivals and parties to go to, feasts like of unleavened bread, the first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets. There's several more. And so as he was setting up what life would look like for this group of people in the Old Testament, it included partying. So that's all I got for that. I did go to the thesaurus, which is can be dangerous, and I found out that we could be having a shindig today, which would require boots and hats and maybe plaid. I don't know that for sure. We could have a brouhaha, which that's just starting to have fun. I don't even really know what that means. Or a hullabaloo, which was my favorite. So however you want to celebrate today, I'm going to let you have that privilege right in your own seat, and you can watch as we celebrate. But I was asked to think about the past year of CCW and what things were meaningful to me. And when I look back, the first thing that sticks out is the word transition. And transition, I believe, is a polite word for the word change, which most people hate. And so if you are one of the normal people in the room that really don't like change, just give me a hand real quick. Change isn't your thing. You're not. I know I'm asking people to raise their hand, which is a change, and some of you don't want to raise your hand because you hate it. I know it's true. The weird thing is, I'm one of the small population of people is I don't hate all of change. In fact, I like transitioning into something new. I've got to experience that over the past 15 years of my life here at CCW. But this year, only thinking about this year, I can't not mention that our senior leader, Dave Pardue, elder, he was the guide and director for this church for many years. He passed away. And I also realized at the same time, and this is kind of blowing my mind, that in that year's time, there's many new people sitting here. And I could say, well, you know Dave. And you would say, who's Dave? And to many of us, it's like, oh yeah, Dave. And so Dave was an instrumental part in the development of leadership. Everyone on staff would say that. I think any elder that's ever got to sit with him as a peer on that elder board is going to say the same thing. But we've had to push through that transition and that change. And most of the staff had a job change when this happened. And we're still saying these words. We're pushing through that transition. It's a little better today than it was, you know, a month ago, and we're still working on things. And so I think of that, and that seems like a bad thing, and you're like, Jeff, I thought you said we're going to celebrate. But the other part, I believe, of the change is the unity that I've seen, and that I get to sit around the table at some elders' meetings and see that they are unified. They have a purpose that they are leading us in, and that is their desire and their prayers for you on our behalf. And I get to sit around the table with staff, and the staff is pulled together with new leadership, and we're moving ahead, still doing things that Dave would have desired for us to do because we knew his heart. I know if we're making disciples, we're doing what Dave wants us to do. And so I can celebrate that through the transition, through that change, that unity has happened. It's really happened with volunteers, which are many of you that are running ministries for us, that I just feel like as a church, as CCW, we've come together today. But we're not coming together today to talk about the things that CCW or the things that we get to do. We're coming together to talk about the things that God does through us. And so I'm glad that as we've done some studying over the past year, that all of the people from the Hall of Faith that we studied with the jerseys hanging from the ceiling weren't perfect people. And it just reminds me that I've got a chance and God can do things through me, an imperfect person, and we get to do that as a family. So the last thing that I think about for the last years, I can't mention, and I think the updated number is 66 people. This is from January, but 66 people came to a place where they had faith. They understood what Jesus dying on the cross, what the blood that he shed did for the sin in their life, was willing to confess their sins to God and before people, learned about what a repentant life would be and how things might change as they totally surrendered their lives, and then were baptized, 66 people this year. That is, go ahead. The surrendered lives and the life change. So I know some of them were, those were first time surrenders. I keep pointing over there, but they were baptized at Pine Island in people's pools. The youth group baptized someone in a fountain when they were away at a conference, I believe, this year. Just the water. They were obedient to that scripture and were baptized, and we will always celebrate that. But our lives continue to change. Maybe not our first time surrender to God, but God is in the process of changing us to be more like Jesus. And so today we're going to celebrate not just those things, but some other things. And the next part of our celebration, I'm going to welcome the Go Church leadership team up to the stage. Come on out. Yeah, give them a round of applause. If you would grab a chair and join me, I feel like you're way over there. So bring something with you. We've got Jake, the lead minister at Go Church. I know many of you, first time introduction, Jake. We have Jim, he's an elder at the church. John is also an elder. And Josh never stopped working for both churches, and I'm going to let him talk about that. But Josh is with us. And so I'm just going to ask some questions now and let them share. I will say again, for those 100 new people that weren't here or so, whatever that number is, I just made that up. But when we say Go Church, I realize you might not have, what's a Go Church? But we have a vision that we're going to continue to plant churches nearby, around, maybe it goes around the earth, but we're going to continue to plant churches. Go Church is a church that is us that went to a different place in Spring Hill. We still will call our church planning process Go Church, but they love the name so much, they threw Spring Hill on the end of it, describing it well. So they are officially Go Church Spring Hill, meaning at Deltona Elementary. Still feels like family comes home, even though I don't know the whole family, because many of you aren't CCW people, you're just Go Church people. So it was cool to meet you, and many of you have your blue shirts on. Yep. I've already said too many words, so yeah. I'm just going to ask a question and let you guys talk. Is that good?
Sounds good.
I'm going to start with John. Your favorite thing, how is God working? What would you celebrate that's happening at Go Church?
There's a lot to celebrate. I think the obvious things are the relationship with the school we're in, the relationship with the community that surrounds Deltona Elementary. But I think one of the most important things to celebrate and is the fact that Jeff mentioned transitions and change, and it was a big change to go from CCW to Go Church. It was a big transition. And I think transitions continue to happen. And I'm one of those people who likes change. I get bored very easily when I'm doing the same thing for a long period of time. But I think the exciting part about being in a small church is God stretches you. It's you set a goal and you get close to achieving that goal. And he says, no, no, no. He said, yeah, you're almost there, but I want you to go a little bit further, or I want you to take a side road with another goal. And so it's always exciting to see where he's going to take you. We've had opportunities to go out into the community whether it's at Deltona Park or Pine Island. We've done good deed kind of things with individuals at their homes. My wife and I joined a small group that was couples, and then God led us to go out and start. My wife started a women's group. I've joined a men's group, and that's very shortly gonna multiply to two groups. And so there's always that element of change and that element of challenge that God puts before you. And I think that's an important part to celebrate.
I got to jump in, too. I know CCW, it's really cool to honor and celebrate with you your baptisms and the decisions people make to make Lord of their life. And so I got a couple more just to add to your list, and I think the kingdoms in general. And some of them are here. I know I see Tabitha and Clinton, you might be in here, too. And I just had to kind of point you guys out because I want you to know your decision is worth all that we've gone through, all that we do, that all the things that the setup, the tear down, the tough days, the good ones, it's all worth it that you're part of the kingdom now forever. And so we just want you to know that we celebrate the same stuff. We're so honored that God would use us to bring more people to his name. And so we're honored to do that. And Tabitha and Clinton know that we would do it all over again for you guys.
Where are you, Tabitha and Clinton?
There's Tabitha over there.
Tabitha's there? Where's Clinton?
And then
where's
Clinton somewhere over there. Yeah.
That's good. I just want to throw in, John mentioned the relationship we have with Deltona Elementary, and it's amazing because, you know, this is a public school, right? And originally the relationship was we paid them money so that we could use their cafeteria, which wasn't the most exciting place to be on a Sunday, but that was how the relationship started. Now the relationship has grown to the point when they run an event at the school, they actually ask us, they say, hey, we need volunteers. You guys can come out in your shirts. You can invite people to church. We want you there because we know you're faithful volunteers. We know that you're going to be there and you're going to be consistent. You're going to love on these people. And just seeing that relationship change over the last years in a public institution, I mean, that's valuable, I think, for the kingdom.
Absolutely. That's good. Can I follow up? Okay, I've got another one. Jake, what have you learned over the last 3 years or since the process started?
Yeah, lots of stuff. I got four things, and actually I got to pause right there. That you know, we all get a lot of things from Dave, but I got this from you, Jeff. The four things. Also, if I have a point, well, I've got three things to say. I've got two, and my wife doesn't appreciate.
We've only got 17 minutes, son.
Hey, I talk fast. I'm all right, but I got four things. First of all, I have not changed as much as I thought, and that's not because I'm awesome. That's because God prepared in me to do this longer than I was ready to say yes to it. And so I'm just so encouraged that, man, he knew long before I did that church planting was going to be part of my story, and I'm grateful for that. Second thing, my goodness, leadership changes. People change. I read some things which was helpful beforehand that you might fully evolve and change your leadership team when you do this, and I would have thought a lot of insecure kind of things if it wasn't for knowing that ahead of time. But what that teaches me and what I want to tell you is that don't get so used to the people on the stage or the people next to you, because there's only one voice that's always going to be there. And that's the one that matters the most anyway. And so especially because of your context and ours as well, don't ever forget what Jesus has done for you, because that's the most important. In fact, another guy had said, just focus on the depth of your devotion and then he'll take care of the breadth of your ministry. And so just stay close to him. And that's what I'm learning, and I only want to do more of that, because I've also learned that I thought when I took a step of faith to go and say yes to Go Church, which, by the way, anybody that I've talked to that said yes to going never regrets that decision to take that step. And so when I take steps of faith, I thought, all right, I'll take this. Let me kind of settle in and get used to it because this is difficult. And that's not at all what he had in mind. He just wanted me to take that step so that I would learn to take the next one. It's almost like he wanted us to walk by faith and trust in what he has to say anyway. And so I say that to you because it is so important to listen to that voice that tells you some of those things that you've got to step out in faith and do. And you've been challenged to go, and you're going to hear more about that. But I could not be more grateful I said yes, because when I did, he showed me that you're not done with that one step, but I've got so much more in mind for you. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I just, it's been an honor to do this, and I would do it 100 times over. And again, I meant what I said about Tabitha and Clinton and any other people that might not be here or that are, and you guys are very special to us, and it's an honor to do this. So we're glad to be here and not done learning yet, that's for sure.
That's was that me. Four things?
Well, I just kept talking. Yeah. One, God did all the stuff that changed in my life. Two, leadership always changes, and trust the one that's always going to be there. Three, man, keep taking those steps of faith. And then four, you're right, the last one. If If you want to, I prayed a lot about the people in the room that are considering going, in whatever capacity that is for you. I wanted to do this for you. And so if you're considering that, I can't promise you that you're going to have some huge church overnight. But I can promise you, if you do this because you want to get closer to Jesus, you will get that. You'll find him. And so if you do this for him, he'll show up and change your relationship for sure. That's my fourth thing. All right.
One thing I learned through all this is God has different things for you in different seasons of your life. You're going to grow and change, as Jake said. With my family, when we originally set out with Go Church, it was in a part-time capacity. So I was actually working at CCW part-time as a minister, working at Go Church. And it was always just this tension of where you want me, God, you know. I felt a very clear call to go when we started talking about this back in, what, 2015, 2016? Is that long ago? Yeah. So when we started talking about this, I felt like this is where God wants me. And then when Dave passed, you know, it was clear that he also had a reason for me being here. And so in the last half a year, I've been transitioning back to CCW in a full-time capacity. That being said, that the last 2.5 years have been some of the most challenging in a positive way experiences for my life, for my family's life. The fact that we were there was because God needed us there for a season, and he grew us through that season. And so, you know, Jake mentioned, like, leadership changes. We change. But don't stop just because you think, oh, I can't do this, or, you know, I might not be here a couple years from now, or. You can think of all the excuses you want. But our call is to follow Christ wherever he leads us, right? And he's going to lead us in places we don't expect. And sometimes those places we don't expect, that's a season. And he's going to grow you through that season.
All right, Jim, I got a doozy for you. This is going to be fun. One of the most asked questions of me, I'll just make this about myself for a second, is many of you have said, how is Go Church? No, you haven't said it like that. You've said, how is Go Church? And I've not really understood exactly what the inflection has meant, but it's because I talk to the guys and I see some of the people, online relationship, but I've heard that, how is Go Church going? So Go Church is here. They joined us today. One way of getting that question answered is to ask Go Church. So Jim, would you answer the question of, how is Go Church?
So glad you asked that, Jeff. Let me ask you, Jeff. You've been to Go Church. How is Go Church?
Okay. I visited Go Church. Upon my visit, I wanted to arrive on time, which means not early, to not talk to anyone. I just kind of wanted to slip in the back and see how things went as far as the service. But I got there enough minutes early that I saw a bunch of people that I missed. I saw some people that I had never seen before in my life, but saw a bunch of friends, and so I couldn't sneak in and hide. But Jake, I apologize. I don't remember a word of what you said.
Used to it.
But it was good. I remember it was good. I appreciated the message. But I can still close my eyes, and when I sat down and settled in at the first worship song, I realized that probably 5 of 6 or 4 of 7, I don't remember the exact number, were adult worship people that were part of CCW's youth group from back in the day when I was a leader of them. And so, hold on, to see them grown and using their gifts for God's glory in that place, it was, I did sit there and cry through a couple of songs just looking at the people on the stage serving, so that's the part I remember. Sorry, Jake. He really didn't have a chance after that. But,
wow, yeah.
But yeah, that's how Go Church was going for me. I'm going to let you answer now.
That's a good answer.
So that how is Go Church seems to be kind of a leading question, right? So Danielle and I would get asked that when we drive around and be like, somebody asked me how Go Church is going. How do we answer that? What do you think? And it was kind of getting frustrating as I I kept thinking about it. I kept thinking about when we were first talking about going to Go Church, how people told us how it was going to be hard, that church plants are hard. And in my mind's eye, I'm reflecting and thinking, oh, you know, we're going to have to set up and tear down, and we're going to have to pack chairs, and we're going to have to, you know, do this and get trailers and stuff. And, you know, God's funny in this way, that that's not the hard part. The hard part is walking around and wondering or thinking out loud or praying, Lord, are we doing this right? That's the hard part. When we first set out to plant Go Church, we determined that we weren't going to judge our growth by butts and budgets, right? Now, I can't say that we haven't grown. We've got babies being born. I mean, if it was up to Jake, he would populate the whole church by himself. But so we growth actually, is happening from within.
We discussed that last week, but well, that's just a reminder of last week's sermon. But
one way or another, I'll tell you what.
Growth is happening from within. But the most growth that we've seen has been when we go, when we get out into the community, the people that we've met. That's where the real growth. The real growth is, am I being Jesus' hands and feet on a daily basis? Am I shining my light? Am I being grumpy? Or am I, you know, the guy driving around with a Love Spring Hill bumper sticker on the back of his car? Am I really loving Spring Hill? So to me, that was the first part of it. That was the hard part, the growth part. And the second part is healthy. Are we a healthy church? And I think Acts 2 tells us whether or not we're a healthy church. Are we preaching the gospel? Yeah, we're preaching the gospel on a regular basis. Are we taking communion? Are we praying our heads off? Absolutely. We're praying on a regular basis as a group. Pastor Dave came in and one Sunday, and he preached to us, and he preached his ship's sermon. He preached about, are you in real, actual relationships? Are you in, are you guys in fellowship? We actually have a fellowship problem, just like you guys have here. The shaking howdy takes way too long, and we can't get anybody in their seats because they're loving on each other. Is discipleship happening? Yes, absolutely, discipleship's happening. And then the other ship, the small group ship. Yeah, whatever, you know, it didn't fit, but whatever. Anyhow, you know, Dave comes in and he preaches that, and I'm thinking, you know what, we are healthy. We're doing the things that we need to do. But ultimately, let me circle all the way back around to the question, how is Go Church doing? I think if I were standing in your lobby and Pastor Dave was standing there next to me and somebody came up to me or came up to him and said, how is Go Church doing? I think a lot of you would see him or hear him like I hear him all the time, and I think he would say to them, you need to go find out for yourself. You need to go see how Go Church is. So that's my spiel.
All right, good answer. Josh has the task of winding us down because we're going to move on in our celebration, but with a question, how about what challenge, words of encouragement, since you've been in both churches, you've been working on both sides, but what kind of a challenge or words of encouragement can you give CCW?
Okay, first thing, you know, I mentioned this, you know, we're all in different phases of our life. We go through these different times when God's going to grow us in different ways. And what I would encourage you first off is don't limit what God can do in and through you. Don't limit yourself, okay? Faith is a commitment to follow Christ no matter what, no matter where he's going, no matter what he's doing. It's a call to discomfort. It's a call to live in a way that we don't expect and to do things that we don't expect. So don't limit what Christ can do in and through you. The second thing is this, CCW and Go Church both have a leadership team whose vision is we're supposed to be ascending church. We're supposed to go out and make disciples, and we're doing that by growing one-on-one. We're doing that in growing groups. We're doing that by growing new church communities. The reason we sent Go Church out is because if you look around Hernando County, we got 160,000 people here in Hernando County right now. If you do some math, man, you know, like top 60,000 of them are showing up at churches. And that's, we're even talking like the Christmas people, you know, the people who come once a year, okay? 60,000 people, at least 100,000 people out there that need to hear the message of Christ, you know? And CCW can't be that to all people. Go Church can't be that to all people. And you know what that means? We need more churches. We need more churches, people who are going to be out there doing what Christ has called us to do, going and making disciples in new locations and new ways. Next year, CCW is planning on launching another church north of us in Citrus County. And I think you need to start praying about whether that's something that God wants you to do. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in to be able to do this. One of the stories that I love the most from the original time we vision cast for Go Church is the Farquhars, Dennis Marine. They were sitting down and they prayed about this and they said, this isn't for us, you know. This isn't what God would have for us, you know. And the day when it came to kind of declare and say, hey, this is something that I'm actually interested in doing, they looked at each other and said, God wants us to do this. Now, you got to understand, I've been here for 33 years. All 33 years, I've known Dennis Marine. Like, they have been a constant part of this church community for longer than most of us can remember. It was comfortable to stay here. It was easy to stay here. It was, and to be honest, like, they would do God's work if they were here too, you know? But they didn't let their comfort limit them from doing what God intended them to do. So, next year, like I said, Go Church Citrus County, you got to start praying now. But if God wants you to go, go. If God wants to send you, get out the doors right now. Don't wait until next year. You know, I mean, Go Church Spring Hill is right around the corner. And if you heard something today that makes you think, man, that's something I'd like to be a part of, that's a community that I could get plugged into and really be used, then go and talk to them. See what's up there. Be a part of what they're doing. If God wants you to start a church in your neighborhood, do it. Get out. Do Christ's work where you're at right now. Don't limit what God can do in and through you. So that's my encouragement to you, my challenge to you. And one of the most important things you need to understand about planting churches, about starting these new churches, is the only rule we set out with, the only rule that we set at the beginning of this Go Church movement was the church that we send out has to have two guys, two elders in leadership, okay? That was the only rule. It didn't say, hey, we have to have a senior minister, we have to have X amount of people. It wasn't anything like that. Two elders, that was it. And we have two elders, you know, and actually Go Church is raising right now. Another guy is going to be joining their eldership team this year. So they're up to three elders. And the thing I want to talk about is growing leaders, okay? Because growing leaders is probably the only thing that stops us, to be honest, from putting churches everywhere in Hernando County and Citrus and Pasco. It's the only thing that limits us because we've got the people. Come on, look around. You know, I got to be honest, it used to be that second service was the packed one, guys. You should see first service now. We didn't have any more seating room, you know? There are people here. We've got the resources. But one thing that we lack is the leaders who are stepping up. But God is multiplying leaders, both at Go Church and at CCW. And that's why we're going to transition. I'm going to invite my dad up here. He's going to come and talk about leadership that is growing here at CCW and what God's doing right here at home. If you would, though, celebrate these guys and what they're doing. Yes. Celebrate the rest of the Go Church community.
Coming.
With all these J names up here, I thought I needed to change my name to Jave. Jave McGrew. This begins our annual congregational meeting. And the most important thing we do each year from an official capacity is select or designate new or additional leaders. I do want to point out the differences between our process and what we've just gone through as a state and a country. We didn't have any political ads. Good. Yeah. All right. We're not going to have any recounts. It's not happening. And there hasn't been a whole lot of drama, you notice. And we don't have drama for a couple reasons. One is we are persistent about doing things God's way. We really are not creating a new process. We keep going back to the operating manual and saying, how is this to be done? And we do it God's way. So there's, although our congregational meetings are very short, we have a reputation for extremely short congregational meetings because there's just not a lot to do. The one thing that we're going to be doing is voting on these things that we have disclosed to you need to be voted on. So I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and start passing out ballots. If you are a member of this congregation for at least 3 months and you are 18 or older, then you are entitled to participate in this vote. Please raise your hand until it has a ballot in it, unless you voted in the first service, in which case you don't get to do it again. That would cause a problem. But keep your hand up until it has a ballot in it so that you make sure that you have a ballot. There are six things for you to vote on that ballot. We've talked to you about what these are over the last couple weeks, so there's not going to be a lot of talking about that now. You got four men who are being put forward as elders. We're looking for your affirmation of that. You've got a bylaws changes that we're voting on and a budget that you're voting on. Everything gets a yes, no, or a no comment vote. Not voting on a subject because you're not sure of what you should feel about it is fine, because it doesn't have a negative impact on the outcome of the vote. So please, as quickly as possible, get your votes marked down and then pass your ballots into the center so that we can get them collected. That's the extent of our congregational meeting. One of the reasons we don't have any drama is we don't have an open time at this meeting. So hopefully if you had questions or opinions or questions, you've gotten them answered over the last couple weeks. If not, your time is up. The vote's happening. We're moving on. So thank you for your participation in this. You can go ahead and finish those votes up and pass them in while we begin the year in review video. So if you would attend to the screens, that's going to be the next part of our celebration. Thank you for your time.
We are the Neppers.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Ben.
The only female Travis. You messed it up already. I'm Travis, the only female Travis you'll ever meet.
And I'm Ben, and we currently have 8 children together.
Not together. I mean, camera.
We currently have 8 children, none together.
I have 4 kids from a previous marriage.
And I have 2 children from a previous marriage. And currently, we have 2 foster children.
Long story short, I was married to my previous husband for 10 years and found out that he had been having an affair for 3 years. So I was completely devastated, considering I was a stay-at-home mom of 4 kids under 12 and was homeschooling them. I got a phone call that day, and it was from the husband of the woman that had been having an affair with my ex-husband.
As I'm sure you all figured out, I was that man.
It was my wife.
It was my wife that had been having an affair with Travis's husband.
Ben and I had no idea each other existed, but through our divorces, God made an inseparable bond that was just amazing. We came all the way from Southern Indiana, where we had spent the first 3 years of our marriage looking for churches in Indiana and never could find anything that seemed to fit, well, seemed to be fitting with what God's will was.
We pray our testimony can show people that God can fix things even when they seem unbearable.
The cool thing about our testimony is that we have told so many people in this church and in this community our story, and I have found so many different stories that are close to our story, and it's been really cool to for our kids and for us to see that we aren't the only ones that's been through horrible things and came out on the good side. And this church has brought us through that because everybody here follows God so great. We even had 2 baptisms in our family in the last year.
Yeah. Me and my oldest daughter, we got baptized here. Eli baptized Patty. Joe baptized me. So that was a friendship in the making, and we grew through that with the church, and the church was very supportive and encouraging. A good experience.
This is our story, and we like to call it Beauty from Ashes.
Miss them, that's for sure. Wow, we have a lot to celebrate, don't we? I mean, think about the gifts that God has given CCW over the last 40-some years. You know, I don't even know. Jeff told me, we were just talking about this the other day, that next year we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary, 2020. You know, that's we just talk about that sometimes and reflect on Dave's life and the impact that he's had and other people who have come down through the years and the people in this room and Go Church Spring Hill and just think, man, what? And now we're talking about just a year in time that's passed, 2018, and we have so much to celebrate and so much to give God thanks for and so much to be just grateful and understand just what he has done. It's not about CCW. It's not about us. It's about him and what God has done. So we celebrate that together. And it's really great that during this time, during this series, as we talk about family on board, we've been in the series for a number of weeks, that we get to talk about this family, about CCW and Go Church Spring Hill and the family of God and what it really means to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's incredible. And you are amazing. And God is using you and doing great things through your lives that are remarkable. And it is an honor to be a part of that. It's an honor to be able to serve you as you live love, your love out for God, for each other, for our community, for the world around us. And the cool thing is, I hope you know this, God is just getting started. God is just getting started with the celebration. There are still many victories to be had and won and so many things to be thankful for yet in the future. And I just want to thank you for being a family, my family, our family, a family on board. You know, we do life together. If you've been around here very long, you know that. We do life together, and as we do life together, we're on mission together. And on mission, we have this vision, and we live this vision out together. And what I love about our churches and who we are in Christ, and the reason that it hurts when we lose a brother like Dave, or many of you who have lost family members this year, the same reason we rejoice when we celebrate babies like the Gibbs and Eli and Jacqueline, and you know, and many of that has happened over the last year. We hurt together. We celebrate together because we're family. And we do life together. Don't you know that? I mean, maybe you've been in a small group this year and they've been there for you as you've gone in the hospital or gone through a hard time. Or maybe, you know, they've been around your bedside as, you know, if you've needed. Or maybe there's a time when you just needed an answer and you open up the Bible together and there's a man next to you or a woman next to you that's able to share truth and grow you through some of those things together. Because we do life together. And it's an amazing privilege to be able to do that. We're family. Yes, we are not perfect. I should say, no, we're not perfect. Y'all know that, right? We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes along the way. We're going to disappoint each other. We're going to confuse each other sometimes and scratch our heads and go, what are we thinking? You know, what's going on there? But that's because that's what family is. It's what family does. And through those times, we love each other strong. And we stick together. We pray for one another. And we look ahead together. And we serve together. Yes, we celebrate together. And we try our best to live for God and follow Jesus together as family. And I can tell you, I would not want to be doing this with any other group of people in my life than with the people sitting in front of me right here, right now. I love you. And serving God with you and following Jesus with you is the greatest privilege in my life. This staff, the people that you've seen up here today, this team, man, they're the real deal, and I love them. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Family. Our elders, they're in the trenches praying for you, shepherding you. They love you. It's an honor to serve Jesus and follow Jesus together with them as family. Whether you're part of Go Church Spring Hill or whether you're part of CCW, you know that you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who care and are family together. And as we do life together, we are on mission together. Y'all know this. We talked about it a lot this year. We talk about it a lot. Our mission statement was given to us by our King Jesus himself. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You love when we read this together. I know you do, because Jesus came and he said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, to Jesus. Yes, and he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our mission, straight from Jesus, he is with us always. As family, we are on his mission together. So that's what we do. We are going to stay on mission. We're going to follow our leader, Jesus. It's, you know, our leaders, we love our leaders, our elders, our staff, but you know what? Our real leader, the head of his church, is Jesus. That's our King. He is our leader. He gives us our orders. So we are going to keep going and making disciples and baptizing and teaching and obeying him, because he's with us always, his family, on mission together. And as family, as we live life together, as we live on our mission together, we have a vision. We have a vision. Acts 1, verses 8 through 11, Jesus continues this before his disciples, this great commission idea. And he tells his followers before he leaves earth to be his witnesses. And to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We take that seriously. You see, we have a vision to do what God has told us to do, what Jesus told us to do in our time. In this place. This is his vision. We are to be his witnesses to our families, to our city, to our county, to our country, and to the world around us. It's a vision that Jesus gave us. And like those men of Galilee who stood there after Jesus ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1, and they were looking up into the clouds like, what just happened? And these men in white robes were there, and they said, why do you stand there staring into the clouds? Brothers and sisters, we are not going to sit here staring into the clouds. Looking back over our shoulders, yes, we pay remembrance, but we are on a mission, and we have a vision, and we are going to do what God gave us to do. That is why we're here this morning. That's why we were put on earth for this vision. This is a vision. It's a vision for everyone, everyone within our reach, to follow Jesus as Lord. You will not meet a person that doesn't need to know and follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have a vision for those people. This is a vision for every Christ follower within our reach to become a disciple maker. And it's a vision for every disciple maker within our influence, all of you, to become kingdom leaders. Kingdom leaders. It's a vision. It's a vision for you. Maybe your vision this year would be to be baptized into Christ, to give your life to him once and for all and forever for the very first time. Or maybe it's a vision for you, someone you've been praying for, someone you've been talking to, and you're going to be in the baptistry with that person before the day or the week or the month or the year is over with. It's a vision. It's a vision for lives being changed here in this time and place. And as Christ followers, we have a vision so that you can be trained and you can be equipped to make disciples and then become a kingdom leader who uses your unique passions and gifts and abilities and situations and testimonies to serve your families, to serve our community and the world around us for his glory. See, it's a vision. It's a vision for kingdom leaders who a year from now will be preparing to go and plant a church in Citrus County. Go church. Maybe it's you. Maybe the vision you've caught it today is to get up out of your seat and go check out Go Church Spring Hill and be a part of what's going on over there. Maybe that's part of the vision. Or maybe it's to help us as we grow out of these two services here at CCW and expand our influence on Sunday mornings. Or maybe it's a vision to help someone out of addiction into freedom in Christ. Or maybe it's a vision to succeed and to help someone else succeed in their marriage and their family. Or to lead a young person, a child, a teenager, to hope in Jesus Christ. I hope you see it. I hope you feel it. I hope you understand it and you want it, because we are going to do it. God is going to give us the power and the energy and the resources and the wisdom to fulfill the vision that he's given us. And we will praise the Lord for all that he has done. And we will continue to praise him. Praise the Lord. We're a family on board, y'all. That's what we're here for. A family on board. Praise the Lord. Doing life together, on mission together, with a vision together. And you know what? It's all for Jesus. His is the name we want to make famous. It is all because of what Jesus has done. We are his family. This is his church. This is his mission, his vision for his people. And there's no better way, no better way to celebrate, to remember, to look ahead than to share the Lord's Supper together. And we're going to do that like we do every week right now. We're going to celebrate. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. And we're going to look ahead because we know that just as we're sitting here today, Jesus is coming back one day. He promised it would happen. So I'm going to ask the men to come, and they're going to be distributing the bread and the juice to you today. And as they do, I'd like to read from you Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20. Luke writes this: after taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. You know, all of this celebration, our family, it's all because of Jesus. Jesus gave his body so that we could be his body, the body of Christ. We celebrate because he gave his blood so that we could have life, life in him. He gave his life for us. Jesus died so that we could live for him. And he rose from the dead. And Jesus lives forever as Lord. So we can celebrate. And we celebrate because we who follow him on earth, we will live forever in heaven with him. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. You loved us before we even knew who we were. And you knew that we needed a Savior. So we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who left heaven and came to earth to live a perfect life. We see that life before our eyes in the words of Scripture, and we thank you for that. Thank you for his teaching, for his healing. We thank you most of all for his sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that he died on the cross for us, that he gave his body and his blood so that we could live. And we thank you, God, that you rose him from the grave after 3 days so that we can have life, not just here on earth, but for eternity. We thank you. Thank you that he ascended to heaven and he is sitting at your right hand, ruling over all of heaven and all of earth, and that you sent your spirit to live in us and with us, to lead us and guide us until that day that we can be together for all of eternity with your son, with you, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, all made possible through Jesus. So right now we celebrate. We celebrate as we eat this bread together. Let's take and eat. He gave his body for us. And we celebrate. We celebrate as we drink from this cup. Together. For Jesus gave his blood for us. He died for us. God, thank you. Thank you. We live for you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Do you believe we have reason to celebrate today? Here we share the Lord's Supper together, man. We think we are the body of Christ. He died so that we could live for him, and he rose from the grave so that we can leave this place and be alive for him. We can know him. We can celebrate for him together because he is coming back again, and he's coming for us. He's coming for his family. And in the meantime, hey, let's go be the church. Let's go tell as many people as we can about our Savior, about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 3 when he said, now to him, why don't you stand with me, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Let's sing this song of praise to him. He is our King forever. And have a great Sunday.